You've heard it before. The victors shape history. The winners. The people who come out on top. So what does it mean when so many of these so-called winners are blokes? Less than 4% of statues in Australia are of real Australian women, which should tell you a bit about how and who gets immortalised in bronze. It's shaped by the historian's personal values, their ideals and beliefs, as much as it is by what actually happened. So what would happen if someone from outside this tent got access to one of the country's biggest historical archives, like, say, the National Library of Australia, and got to shape a bit of history themselves? Because here with me is Sita Sargent. She is the CEO of She Shapes History, a project that grew out of frustration with a lack of representation of the women who, well, like it says on the tin, shape history. Sita, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me.
So you started out in Canberra as a walking tour, but this passion has really built into something of an empire.
Yeah, I feel like it's taken over my life and a few other people's. It started with as a side hustle that made me absolutely no money in 2021 and then just grew and grew. And we now have a team of 32 guides across four cities in Australia and five full-time staff, which just gives me heart palpitations whenever I say that number.
That's wild. We'll hear a bit more about what you're doing these days with it. But tell me, like, take me back to that beginning point. What was it that got you fired up enough to start this?
Like you said, a lot of frustration. I had moved back to Canberra, which was the city that I grew up in, and I was kind of trapped there during the pandemic. So like many people, I started deep diving on a topic, and my topic was Australian history. And what got me is I kept coming across these incredible stories of women who had made this country what it is, but they were never being positioned as central characters in the story of Australia. And I think the thing that really just pushed me over the edge was finding out that Canberra, you know, Australia's capital city, was designed in large part by a woman, Marion Marnie Griffin.
Really?
Yeah. So she was the one who did all of the illustrations. She was the one who did the research into the natural landscape. She was the one who she was one of the first women in America to graduate with an architecture degree. She was this absolute powerhouse. And despite putting in all of this work to this design and literally illustrating it, her and Walter Burley Griffin, her husband, decided to leave her name off the competition entry because they assumed if her name was on it, then it just wouldn't get taken seriously. So it means from the very first days of Canberra as a capital, you have the contributions of a woman being erased. And I just thought, gosh, you know, if I'm finding this out in my like 20s, that a woman is behind this city that I grew up in, like what else am I missing?
So who else did you find when you started digging? Do you have some favourite stories that you uncovered?
Oh, I adore the story of the very first woman who ever voted in Australia. And I think this is probably the story that got me really excited about Australian history. So she's the most unlikely person to hold this title. Her name is Fanny Finch. She was a woman of colour of African British heritage. She was a single mother of four and she was living in Castlemaine, so regional Victoria. And she ends up voting in 1856, which is, for those of you who aren't as deep in Australian history as me, that's about 50 years before women gain the right to vote in this country. And she ends up voting because of this, just because she was a small business owner who had become so fed up and frustrated at this really corrupt business owner down the street who decided to run for parliament, the local council. And she just went, you know, this man would make a terrible representative. And so she looked at the law, and the law at the time said that if you were a person who pays your rates or bears a miner's license, you can vote. So through this loophole in the law that assumed that women would never be ratepayers, she wrote herself into history as the very first woman who voted in this country. And I just think, you know, like it is such an Aussie story of this frustrated woman who runs a pub, who's voting and looks at the law to try and get rid of a dodgy guy.
That's iconic, honestly. Love that. Fanny Finch, never forget. So you've been running these tours in Canberra and then it sort of blossomed into something bigger. You actually took a break, you quit your job to go and write a travel guide to women of Australia.
I did. So I was kind of doing the tours as a once a week thing, but I was working full time at first a university and then at a museum. And at the end of 2023, I had a publisher from Hardy Grant Explore reach out, just cold email. And I actually initially thought she was trying to scam me because I just thought no one cold emails you pitching a book. So I didn't respond to her for 3 months. And then I was clearing out my inbox and I actually Googled Hardy Grant Explore and I was like, oh my God, these people are legit. And then I wrote back immediately and then we jumped on a Zoom call like the next day and she pitched me this idea for a book. She said, we've seen what you've done in Canberra. I don't know how, we had terrible SEO. And she ended up kind of saying, you know, like, we think this would make an amazing national travel guide. And without, you know, thinking through the economics of it, I did not get a big advance or like the reality of what it would mean to write a travel guide. I quit my very well-paid permanent museum job and took off on a, and used my entire advance money, by the way, to buy a 15-year-old Subaru Forester and rooftop tent. And I just started driving around the country. Had no plan. I would not recommend the route that I took. It was chaos. And ended up finding, you know, like hundreds upon hundreds of stories of these incredible women who have shaped history. I had so many amazing conversations. It changed how I viewed Australia. And then I got back and I had to write the book, which was, and they didn't give me an extension. So it was a very intense few months.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Sita Sargent, who is the CEO of She Shapes History. If you can't tell, that is an initiative that is trying to platform women who maybe have been forgotten by history. I'd love to know who the forgotten woman from history you would like to shout out today, someone who doesn't get the credit they deserve. Alison says Judith Wright, known for her poetry, but most people don't know she almost single-handedly stopped oil exploration on the Great Barrier Reef. Janelle says Sister Bullwinkle, an extraordinary nurse in World War II. Another is shouting out Kathleen Butler, who was instrumental in the Sydney Harbour Bridge project. Prime mover and shaker, this person says, diplomatic secretary extraordinaire. Well, Sita, now you've got a new project with the National Library of Australia, mining their archives. Tell me about this project. It sounds even more daunting than you and a 15-year-old Subi driving around Australia.
I'm so excited by this project. So I ended up launching the book at the National Library of Australia last year, and it was just an amazing event. And it kind of sparked this really beautiful relationship with the National Library. And I went back about a month later because I just couldn't stop thinking about them with a pitch for a kind of quarterly series of talks and attached digital resources because I'm the world's biggest nerd that would open up the library to a general audience about all the incredible stories of women who are there. And despite it being the world's most ambitious pitch, they ended up agreeing to it. And over the next 3 years, every 3 months, we are going to be diving into a big like question that will open up the collection. And the first question that we're diving into is one that I asked when I started on my journey, which was, why didn't anyone ever tell me that Australian history was actually pretty interesting? And I've selected three incredible women, one of whom has actually like never engaged with the library before and doesn't think that it's relevant at all to kind of like a young woman of colour in this country, and two of whom are people who have engaged really deeply with the library's collection, but in very different ways.
The person who didn't see the value in being involved?
Her name is Harini, and she's a Tamil Australian woman. So she came here when she was 14 years old and is someone who's a big Instagram influencer in the South Indian history space and has a huge platform based in Canberra, and is just someone who like adores history and loves it and has never felt like the National Library is actually a space that would hold stories that would be relevant to her. And I have had that conversation with quite a few, like younger women of color in particular. So like women like me, you know, as someone whose like mum is from South India. Mm. And I felt that way too, you know, growing up, that this is not, that Australian history doesn't have people that look like me. And I think that the way that we talk about history in this country, even now, is still kind of very like quite literally black and white, and that you end up missing out on all of the nuance and all the incredible multiculturalism that happens in between. And I think that, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, actually, particularly with the recent anniversary of the first sitting of federal parliament, and how one of the first 10 acts that was passed in parliament was the Immigration Restriction Act, the White Australia Policy, and how that kind of, you know, like set a tone for this country, just not really acknowledging the contributions of people of colour. And I think that the National Library is an incredible space because it holds so much evidence that people of colour have shaped this country. And I'm really excited by this series because it's not only digging out the stories of kind of women in the collection, but also really diverse women who don't usually get spotlighted and platformed. So I'm like, I'm really excited to kind of dive into that. And to the National Library has been great. They, for every talk, are building out a reading list, so you don't have to go hunting in the collection. They found some great stories, as well as a research guide, so that you can go off and do this research yourself. So it's I'm really like proud that we're getting this off the ground. I hope that it works out well. We've committed a lot.
It's such an interesting thing hearing you talk about it, Sita, and so many people are sending me texts with the women that they want to shout out. Dr. Bill Varney says, for a statue in Melbourne, I nominate Dr. Ruth Bishop, who discovered the virus that causes gastroenteritis, rotavirus. This discovery led to a vaccine saving millions of lives. Another health person, Siobhan, says Dr. Heather Mitchell, instrumental in setting up the Victorian Cervical Cancer Registry, bringing rates down to one of the lowest in the world. Another says John MacArthur's wife, Elizabeth, apparently she did most of the sheep breeding work, but her husband got the credit. And it's making me think about what you said before about the Burley Griffins and this creator, Harini, who's part of your exhibition. Obviously, the people in power have a responsibility to share the spotlight. But I also am struck, Sita, by what you're saying about people maybe leaving themselves out of history because they think they're not going to be honoured, and where the balance is between putting yourself forward, putting your hand up, and the folks in power sharing that mic.
Yeah, 100%. I think that it's something I think about a lot, about who is writing and telling history in this country, and how even now, you know, it's not, I'm really hoping with this series that we get more diverse people interested in history and writing that story.
So what's your big takeaway from this project, the women you've encountered in your research?
Oh, so many. But the one that I have been thinking about, I think particularly because it feels like everything is very much getting worse at the moment, is that in Australia, if I have like learnt nothing else from, you know, spending a lot of time thinking and learning about incredible women. And I want to just say I loved that a lot of the women who were being named I recognize. I feel a real sense of relief. is that anyone can shape history in this country. I think that Australia is a small enough country that if you pick an issue and you are really, really relentless about it and you just focus on it, you can make a difference and you can shape history. You might not necessarily be remembered with a statue, but you will be remembered in the legacy that you leave. And I think that Australia is a small enough country as well that, like, no one's really looking at us. So you can do something really amazing and then it pushes the rest of the world forward. And, you know, like, democracy is a great example of that. You know, women getting the right to vote. We really led the way, and it was because there was, Australia was like a low stakes country, so we could experiment. And I think that, you know, if anyone's going to push the world forward, why not it be us?
Absolutely. Well, Sita, all the best with your project. You are shaping history in the work that you're doing. Sita Sargent, CEO of She Shapes History.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.